In a world where fiat trembles and the mempool never sleeps, one signal cuts through the noise. Welcome to Pleb Chain Radio, Layer 2, your premium passage to the hidden rifts of Bitcoin culture. Buckle up and feel the voltage.
All right, we are live. Welcome to Layer 2 Pleb Chain Radio. My guest this week, this is QW, by the way. My guest this week is none other than Ghost. Ghost is a privacy expert, has the site Untraceable Digital Descent, and has a lot to say about limiting your digital footprint. So I'm very excited about the show. I'm very excited about the opportunity to speak with him, and I hope you enjoy. So welcome, Ghost. How are you doing today?
Greetings and salutations. Doing well.
So who is Ghost? Tell me as much as you're comfortable with.
That is a deep question. Who is Ghost? Obviously, Ghost is a NIM, just a made-up name, a persona. Following my rules, he only exists on Noster. Up until extremely recently, you would never find, the same name, profile, email, etc., on any other location, forum, Twitter, etc. Made some exceptions to that just recently. Trying to keep the persona straight with the new website and blog. But if you're asking about the human breathing person behind the NIM, well, then that's would be me. Let's see. Technical background. Done this for a long, long time. Have cybersecurity certs out there. Been into privacy advocacy for a long, long time. Everything I advise and tools I use are ones that I've actually used for real, or know other people that have been in use for a long time. Same with the methods. So nothing's theory. Everything's been battle tested and worn. I do a lot of writing and advocacy all over the net, kind of a small Venn diagram where privacy and cypherpunks and Bitcoin and everything kind of meets up. So more than likely, you have read other things that I have written in magazines and on other sites. Just didn't realize it was me.
Wow. Yeah. I was actually just looking yesterday, and I didn't realize this. There was the word cypherpunk apparently was invented or first coined by a girl that might have been working back then in 89. And I think she was the editor at Mondo 2000, something like that. It was a magazine that first talked about cypherpunk. And then she's the one that she went to. She might have been the editor there, but she definitely became the editor at Wired Magazine. And that's where that Rebels with a Cause, 1993, I think February 1993.
The famous cover.
The famous cover. I have that copy. That's one of my, I hold it dear, and I also have a dog tag that a friend, never met him, but I cherish the guy, Snick Toshi. He created a laser engraved dog tag that has the entire Cypherpunk manifesto inscribed on it. Pretty sweet stuff, but I feel like we're certainly reaching, it's more and more important. I mean, we just saw I don't even know what happened with Samurai. They kind of bent the knee. I honestly want to give that more time to give my judgment on it. But we see these battles happening. It's across the globe now. Before it was just, it was just the U.S. We didn't have this world is flat digital world where everything is connected. And it's something where it's more and more important that we protect the freedoms today, protect the privacy, whatever it is, because my son, those are the same privacies he would never know existed if we don't. So it's something that compels me to talk about these things, to put my foot down. And a lot of the times I don't know where to put my foot down. I don't know what can be trusted. I don't want blind security. So these are just things that go through my head that I feel like a show like this or a conversation like this can kind of unwind those doubts and give me more of a path. So what compelled your passion within this field enough to place your scarce time and energy into it? Was there a tipping point, or is it something you've just always been interested in?
A little bit of both. Obviously, it's something I've always been interested in, always worked in and out of it. Obviously, I'm a freedom maxi. I've said that from the first. My political alignment is, I think all gay couples that own a marijuana farm should be able to defend it with a fully automatic machine gun.
Amen.
So, while I've been on Noster, obviously I have made a lot of those viewpoints out there. I have given advice when I could, answered questions when they were asked. Have tried to do a Noster only blog with a different NPUB. That didn't really work. I tried to
Long form.
I did long form. The great thing about Noster and the horrible thing about it disappears. it gets lost in the feed. There's no way to go back and look. So I thought maybe it'd be clever to blog under a different NPUB. And that way you go to that NPUB and you only see those long forms. That also got just lost in the thing. So I unfortunately had to go the old route and actually, WordPress and blogger site, it's, 1995 again.
Isn't that wild though? Because once you use Noster, you got your NPUB, you got your, Wallet Connect, you got your browser extension to sign in. Then you use it for 3-4 months, and then all of a sudden you go back to another, I'll call it the legacy site. And you're putting in an email, your two-factor authentication, and you're just man, this is I feel dirty. Kind of signing into this platform we're on right now. You just kind of bend the knee a little bit.
It's archaic.
To get the results you need.
you accept the limitations that it gives you. So, WordPress is open source. I'm using it. It's fine. I'm hosted in on a server that's in Iceland that I paid with Monero and no name. So you work around the system, you use the rules mm-hmm. that they give you. Email is dirty.
And
it's
all the
archaic.
Tools for privacy, all the tools you can find.
Email is dirty, it's whatever else, but it has its place in the world, unfortunately, still. Mm-hmm. So you use it as is and you accept the limitations and you don't try to make it do something it's not made to do.
You don't want to hack it. So what is an untraceable digital dissent?
Dissident.
Dissident. Sorry. I'm reading off my poor notes. So the website, talk a little bit about the scope of it and maybe your mission.
Looking around, I wanted to get something out, especially lately, because I keep looking around and stuff's getting weird out there, really weird and really bad. We talked about the cypherpunks earlier. We honestly thought we had won that war back in the 90s with encryption and, code is speech. And it seemed like we did for a little while, but now they're rolling it back across the board, across even Western democracies, we're seeing it now. It's horrible between, Australia and UK, and now what's going on in the US and the EU. It's shit's getting really weird. So I write for very diverse folks. Everybody has different needs. You have the dissident, you have the activist, you have the journalist that have very strict privacy needs that if they're not met, they could end up, memory hold in a gulag or jail time. And then you have others that they're slowly but surely giving away what little freedom they have, and they're being manipulated by the system and don't even realize it. And then you have, makes me roll my eyes, the privacy bloggers and influencers, and they're putting out stuff about that your laptop is getting spied on by satellites, by the fan, cooling fans, oscillations. And I'm just, I just can't take it. There needs to be some sane voice out there that what you should be doing should be for you, not this craziness, not you shouldn't have to go out in the woods and live naked eating grubs to have some ounce of privacy and anonymity.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because you mentioned the code is speech battle that we thought we won, but what that did was establish precedent, right? And if someone like let's say Samurai was just a psyop, and it was all just to make it to where it would establish precedent in court by not fighting it or pleading. Is that even possible? I saw one theory like that yesterday, and I was like, you know, they could easily, if we're basing everything off of establishing precedent in a court of law, what's stopping, them to manipulate that? It seems like it's something that could absolutely happen.
Well, that seems a very long odds. Birds are not real. One,
they're charging on the power lines.
They're charging on the power lines. So they did plea deal, which does not set a mm-hmm. precedent. That's not mm-hmm. a legal case. Okay. If the judge, since they're pleading guilty, the judge didn't decide. So the case wasn't actually tried. They just pled mm-hmm. guilty to what they were charged with. That doesn't set a legal precedent. I'm not a lawer, but yeah, that doesn't set a legal precedent. Now, it does embolden the DOJ because they got what they wanted, or at least some of what they wanted. They're hushing and silencing and freezing out open source developers because they may not have charged them with money laundering, but they did get charged. And they were looking at 3 to 5, which is nothing to laugh at. So anyone else that's putting out open source software that has any kind of privacy implications or mixing or hell, even what I'm doing, just giving advice, they can always change the rules later because what they were doing at the time, it wasn't illegal until they decided it was illegal.
Right. Yeah. It's tough to trust anything right now. And when you talk about the EU and Australia doing their online safety act,
yes,
they're essentially using children as the Trojan horse.
It's always children. It's always your safety. Which one are we going to use today?
Yeah. But when something like Epstein happens and, there's actually children, all of a sudden that disappears. So there's certainly a little, I don't want to go too far into that cause I don't know enough, but it certainly seems like they choose when they want to protect children. Let's put it that way.
they don't care about that. There's 100 other ways they could show that they do. An age verification that's mislabeled. It's not an age verification. It's, you cannot reach these services or these sites until you identify who you are with ID. Mm-hmm. That's, let's be honest, that's exactly what it boils down to, because that's the reality of it. You go to that site, you can't get there unless you prove you are who you are. And
right.
that's not a, that's do not pass go. That's just not acceptable. And we have, we're all saying that about the EU. The EU's doing that, rolling it right now. They're talking about adding it to YouTube, which, how is YouTube dangerous? That's an educational site. I don't, we're not, in the U.S. states, we have, 19, 20 states now, where if you try to go to an adult site, it does the same thing. So, mm-hmm. U.S. citizens shouldn't be shaking their heads and acting like it's so far gone, because it's right here. Australia is doing the same thing with YouTube. You got the UK, That's who we were talking about. Do the EU is now put talking about maybe putting in an Android verification app so that when you download your apps, they got to make sure what your age is. So things like Zap Store, F-Droid, Itanium, side loading will go away. Your Android tablet, your Android phone won't let you do it unless it came from the Google store.
Yeah, that's that I've read somewhere that legacy technology, let's say legacy phones and things like that, are gonna go up in value based off of just not having all the tentacles on them. Would you agree with that?
I would do anything for an old school phone that I could put a SIM card, not a SIM card, but an actual micro USB and remove the battery. That used to be standard. Now you cannot find a phone that does either one.
Yeah, I have one phone that's not in use, that's got a SIM slot that one day, I hope I don't need to use it, but that's the closest thing I can get to not being just you can't even take the battery out of things anymore.
Yeah,
So it's one of those things.
double SIM is pretty standard now. Digital SIM, which is nice, is pretty standard now. But maybe I'll do extend storage or remove storage or remove the battery, which I'm not saying this is conspiracy because I'm not really a conspiracy. There's too much real stuff I can point at. But unless you remove the battery, the phone tracks you even if you turn it off. People think you can just turn it off or put it on airplane and it doesn't track you anymore. Well, how do you think Find My Phone iPhone works when the phone's turned off, but it still works?
Right.
No, as
You
long as it's
think?
connected to the battery, it still does that. You have to remove the power source.
And what thoughts on Faraday?
Faraday works. You can throw them in a Faraday bag or one of those materials, and yeah, obviously it kills the signal. You're not going to get any calls, you're not getting any outside things, but you need to test those. Some of the cheaper ones that you can get off Amazon or whatever else are questionable, but there is an easy test. The wallets are easier if it's a looser material. You can hold your card up to one of the swipe machines, tap to pay if it works, or you can get the cheap, less than $10 wallets that hold your cards that have it's just two pieces of metal, steel. Yeah, nothing's getting through that. It's going to block the signal. It doesn't matter how cheap it is. It's not going to get through. RFID is not going to get through, a couple millimeters of steel. So those are a cheap alternative. That's what I actually carry.
Nice. So Eric Hughes, he said privacy is essential for an open society and that individuals must take responsibility for protecting their own privacy. That's not, it's never honestly been more true than it is today. And it seems like that's full front attacked with everything that's going on in the legislations. So I guess what is privacy, may I ask?
Privacy is control. You're able to control your own data and who gets to see what. You can be out there with your full face and your social security number tattooed on your forehead all over the internet. If that's what you chose, that's control. If you chose not to do that, that is also control. It's controlling your data. If you want to give this away and have this and allow people to know your name and your face, and you see people on Noster with their full legal name and pictures, go for it. But if you don't choose to, you shouldn't be forced to. That is what it basically what it boils down to. If I don't want someone to know something about me, if I don't feel comfortable sharing certain things about me, or someone else, I you shouldn't be forced to do so. Or it taken from you through unsubtle means like Google and other corporate surveillance does.
And Google was what you're alluding to is the Google YouTube that just this week they're talking about AI integrating AI to kind of profile to scout out who might be underage.
Correct.
And yeah, I'm sure that's all they're collecting.
It's never all
That's
they're
kind of a
collecting.
well, in that
I have
same.
posted this before. Google is, yeah, they're not in the business of giving away free email and free video service and free docs and tools and all the other free great note apps that they put out. They're all free. Use them as much as you want. No one ever questions that. That's their business model, yeah, to give away free tools. No, it's not. It's to collect as much as information about you as possible, narrow it down to the nth degree to where it's literally a science. They measure what your mouse does, what it pauses on, what you click on when you click off, what you don't click on, what you don't click off, what you search. They're able to build a pinpoint accuracy of a profile of you. And once they have that, that is incredibly valuable to themselves and to other people. Not only for, it's just for advertisers. That's true. But it's also for other people that not advertising. We saw it in, what is the name of that company? They pinpointed accuracy for information to be able to give certain groups different ads to this and that and influence how people react to certain situations or vote or anything else. It's just control. It boils down to the more they know about you, the easier you are to control. You think, all those decisions you made on your own, unfortunately, study after study says, no, you didn't. You were influenced and pushed one direction or the other.
All right. That wraps up the 21 minutes of PlebChain Radio Layer 2. If you're interested in the full 90 minutes with Ghost, hit the subscribe. We love support. We appreciate the support. And we'll just keep pumping out Layer 2 content, following our hearts, following our passions, and bringing it right to your eardrum. So thank you very much. And until next time.